the unvaccinated deserve reparations. Commentary. I am being somewhat ironic. But really, not that ironic. How many people in the land of the free lost their ability to care for their families for refusing to go along with the COVID-19 jab mandates? For saying no to injecting themselves with an experimental gene therapy vaccine, even though most of them were not at severe risk from the virus? When Pfizer executive Jeanine Small admitted to the European Parliament on October 10 that the vaccine had never been tested to stop the virus's transmission, many may have subsequently felt vindicated. Conservative member of the European Parliament from the Netherlands Rob Roos asked Small point-blank whether the claim that we were all fed from day one of the vaccine's release had any grounding in fact. Those who refused the shot on principle endured the vitriolic attack by their government and peers. They were labeled as antisocial and denied access to society in many cases. Roos may have made his statement in Brussels, but it also resonated with those of us in the United States and Canada. The latter endured particularly draconian lockdown orders and vaccination requirements. When Dr. Anthony Fauci told us that the vaccine turns you into a dead end for the virus, we were told to trust the science. Now Small tells us that the speed of science was moving too fast to be able to test that claim. In other words, she reaffirmed what many of us already knew: much of the COVID fiasco has been unrelated to any actual science, but rather a pretext for the government to increase its power. Conform, or else become an untouchable. That was their goal all along. Divide and conquer. Remember when nearly 50% of Democratic voters said they would potentially be okay with forcibly interning the unvaccinated in isolated locations, you know, as in camps? 48% wanted the government to fine or imprison anyone who merely questioned the efficacy of vaccines. It's not just livelihoods. How many families were torn apart by the government's nonsensical tyranny? Many of us had holidays cancelled, gatherings unattended, and relatives who just outright stopped talking to us because we weren't vaccinated. They bought into the narrative that was pushed on us from every direction. No vaccine, no life. What about going to nursing homes or hospitals to see our loved ones in their most vulnerable moments when they most needed the warmth and comfort of friends and family gathered around? Even when we said, "Fine, I'll get tested if I need to." Nope. Not good enough. Were there vaccine requirements in place when George Floyd died, and the entire country was allowed to go on an anti-racist bloodletting, parading in the streets and burning down cities? No. Oh right, that was when over 1,000 medical health professionals signed a letter saying that the protests were more important than any worries related to COVID. What about when all those young professionals celebrated in front of the White House gates when Joe Biden was declared the winner of the presidential race, attacking an effigy of then-President Donald Trump? Well, of course, you can't let COVID get in the way of that. Trump posed the greatest threat to this country since the Cuban Missile Crisis. Remember all those mean tweets? This is nothing new to most of us here. Anyone who could see beyond the facade of the established science knew that the media and government, as well as the medical and pharmaceutical industries, were propagating falsehoods and exaggerations to cow us into going along with their agenda. The COVID response is a social trauma that will likely take at least a generation to recover from. As we learn more not only about the vaccine's ineffectiveness in stopping the virus, but the potentially harmful side effects accompanying it, the wound will only grow deeper. This all says nothing of the largely pointless lockdowns, the repercussions of which have yet to be fully understood. Skyrocketing drug use and overdose, stunted mental development for children and impaired learning, increased depression, and missed doctor appointments. All of these considerations were buried under the government demand to trust the science. Still, many of these considerations were out of our control. Whether or not we got the vaccine was one of the few areas where we had an actual choice. In the United States, at least, they still did everything they could to make that choice as difficult as possible. Sure, you're free not to get the vaccine, but you're a bad person, and we will do everything in our power to ostracize you from society. So hearing Small plainly state that they had no scientifically tested basis for claiming that the virus stopped transmission might seem like a victory. But it's only a moral victory. I'm not kidding when I say that I believe reparations are justified. Maybe not in a cash handout, but an easy place to start would be the various businesses that were forced to fire employees offering to hire back the unvaccinated with back pay for the income lost. The government should support this. Then again, those employees might not want to be rehired by the employers who betrayed them. The government should still pay the difference in lost income for those who lost their jobs. Washington can send endless billions to Ukraine because of democracy. So why not take care of the citizens in our own country? You know, the citizens that it turned its back on. That is likely too much to expect, at least from this administration. We all know that. Most of the individuals who refused the jab on principle probably don't want Washington's money anyways. That's fine. But there is one other thing that the people of this country undoubtedly deserve even more than reparations. It is something that they will almost definitely never get. How about an apology?